And with that, Jay, I'll welcome Jay up here this morning. Jay, thanks for coming out.
And we're looking forward to working
through letters 24 and 25. And let me pray for you here this morning. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you this morning for this opportunity to gather, for fellowship, and to dive into the application of your word in our lives. I know this morning that Jay has put in lots of preparation over the last week or so to make this message impactful and to make it relevant for our lives, Lord, as we discuss the impact of prideful spirituality and chasing the novelty of change, Lord. So, Lord, this morning we pray that you'd be with us. Guide us not only in our conversations at our tables, but also speak to and through Jay this morning. Calm any nerves that he might have and ensure a successful delivery that impacts the men here in this room this morning. We give thanks to you for this time and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Wow, it's amazing. Let me get myself set up here. I don't know what's happening. Anybody drove on 66 on my way back from I live in, like Richard says, in West Virginia almost, but like there was all kinds of cars coming in down. Everybody's going to work and to D.C. It's like, thank goodness I don't have to do that. But it's great to be with you guys this morning. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the time that you guys get to spend, the time that I get to spend or we all get to spend with each other in setting the conditions for the rest of the week at least, right? So we can go on and do God's work wherever he has placed us. And I think throughout this journey that we've been going through the Screwtape letters, it's really been interesting and it's been challenging for me personally, right? Some of these things, especially because I keep saying is that sometimes when I'm reading things, I'm supposed to be reading from the perspective of the demon writing these things, and then also I'm relating to it. Say, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. I need to recheck myself on these things here. It's an interesting, clever thing that C.S. Lewis has done here, but at the end of the day, he said, you know, it drives up into Scripture. What does Scripture say about these things? So I think it's, let me go forward. I think it's important for us to take some time because it's been almost 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since we've met and since, you know, Marty says, and I agree, and I actually live, brain cells die daily. I think it's important for us to take a time and just review some of the letters here. And where we've been in this journey, especially for people that are new, right? Screwtapes and the letter. From letters 1 through 6, we see, and what we've seen all throughout this time is just a journey. And the reason this is so appealing to many when you read it is because a lot of it was relatable to us in our own personal journey as we're walking, right? And letters 1 through 6, he was Screwtape, which is the demon tasker or teaching Wormwood to exploit distractions, mundane routines, fears, and wars on the patient. You know, this is like he's looking at it from the perspective of, you know, how can you distract, deceive, or destroy, which is, you know, common in the anemia for us. In letters 7 to 12, he emphasizes the ship of hypocrisy and false humility. Spiritual pride is one of those things that keeps coming up, right? And keeping the patient outwardly Christian, but inwardly unchanged, right? Interesting, right? In letters 13 through 18, he goes through, take warns against the genuine pleasures of love, which is, you know, just looking at God's creation and really spending time admiring his creation and really focus about and distracting us from going into worshiping the creation as opposed to the creator, right? And again, the enemy trying to deceive us, right? To include in making those things as tools that become tools of idolatry. In the last couple of letters here that we've been 19 to 23, the enemy, which in this case is God, parentheses here, has allowed the patient to fall in love, right? And in Screwtape and Wormwood, I aim and weaponize the spiritual jealousy, right? The things that happen normally, they happen when relationships, right? Because I know it doesn't happen with you guys. When you fall in love with somebody, there's really no friction associated with that, right? That doesn't happen. I've been married 34 years. And I always say that our first 6 years were really one of those that, you know, I keep saying my daughter came home after studying a minor in psychology, and she said, "You guys should not be married." I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, you're both firstborn, you're both strong-willed, you both were jocks in independent sports, you know, letter on each one of them." He said, "You're really not the, you know, not the picture for people to for be together." I say, and the initiative that we actually took a test on saving your marriage before it starts, and before it starts, and we actually that came back as, "You guys are an unusual couple." And so, our answer to that is, "Oh, we have a trump card named Jesus, right? And besides, we're both firstborn, and we are not quitters. So who wants to quit at the end of the day?" So from that perspective, I think what we bring it to today, right? Today he's the wormwood there, he's the patient that we've been looking, he is in a relationship. And the theme of these things, and I'm gonna roll these things through, is that he's in a relationship with this lady, and there is a chink in the armor, but not in the patient itself, but in the person of the affection of his love, right? That and then what's interesting to me that as we read the letter, he makes Screwtape makes a distinction between men and women and how they view things, and then for her it's really like a minor thing, and for him it is a major thing. I'm going to roll these things here because it can become distracted. I apologize, they were supposed to be taken off, but in her is a minor, but in him is it's a major thing, and you know, in the letter, humility is once again set forth as a major Christian value that it's being that's being attacked, or the enemy is trying to distort, right? And how is he doing that? Well, because she comes from a group, and she clearly, you know, by the background makes you believe that she's a believer that has grown in a believing family, and now he's part of this group, right? And every once in a while, she'll make a comment about other people that are not the beliefs that she believes, and she'll make a comment that from his perspective can be looked as derogatory or lesser than. I call that, you know, is that something that I can relate to? Yeah. You know, anybody been know about the holy huddles? It's safe, you know, when you become a Christian and you become part of that, and you're part of that relationship. It's important for us, and not important. Sometimes we relate that we're in the middle of things that we can get that we can get, and sometimes consume with ourselves, right? Spiritual pride through comparison, my life and theirs, you know. And he talks about this. He says, "You must teach him to," and I'm going to do this with a Puerto Rican accent, not the English one. "You must teach him to make him contrast between the circle that delights and the circle that bores him from the contrast between the Christians and the unbelievers." In other words, make that distinction, the us and the them. The us and the them. Does that sound familiar? I know I've been guilty of that. A lot of times we go into the safe places, and that's where we spend some time. And that's where we grow. We gather, we grow, but we forget sometimes that we're gathering and we're growing because we're supposed to be going. And then our life needs to be able to reflect those things within Christ, right? The other piece of this, the high-level theme, and there are many, and some of these are paraphrases for that, so is that the false humility and religious elitism, right? When we get within the groups, you know, we start to make some comparisons, and there in terms of where we affiliate ourselves to. We can do that within the men's group here too. This is a great place for us where we come, and most of us are believers. I don't pretend that everybody's here is a believer. I assume that everybody is. But sometimes these groups like this, this is one of those things where we need to invite other people so they can come into fellowship. Or other even believers that are not as mature to come into fellowship here, right? And sometimes we forget because we get comfortable in that particular routine, right? And the enemy tries to exploit those kinds of things within us, right? That leads to the next thing, which is condescending and judgment towards to other believers, to fellow believers, right? My spiritual walk might be better than yours, right? I'm able to quote from Genesis to Revelations from the top of my head, and therefore I am entitled to certain things, right? I know that doesn't happen, right? I know that there's not that peace. But, we got to remember we fall from a sinful nature. When we went through the review of the chapters from 1 to 23, the one thing that the enemy is trying to explore is exploiting the world against the flesh, and now against the spirit and distorting the spirit. Yeah, and that's a common thing across these entire Screwtape letters. So, how does that look like in terms of sins or struggles or the symptoms, remember, for the patient? Well, it looks like spiritual pride disguised as discernment. Kind of one of those things, holier than thou. Jealousy mask as doctrinal purity, right? Constance, right? Focusing on the things that divide us as opposed to the things that, what? Unite us. By the way, when I went through the journey of letters 1 through 23, just out of curiosity, how many people think that the patient is actually cured or saved? Reality is that I don't know. I think sometimes he does, but I think he is. But there's some things there. The question is, really, at the end of the day, what? Only who knows? Right? So as he reflects, the question becomes, now we are assured of our salvation. We can go into scripture and remind ourselves of that, right? The enemy is trying to distract us from that. But at the end of the day, we need to remember that our job is, okay, I need to be able to know where I am in my relationship with Christ, and be able to encourage and enable others to have the same relationship with Christ and move on, right? So and this is where a combination to other believers, knowing and being judgmental to other believers, superiority within the Christian circles, one group over another. Elders, one of the things that I've been humbled about and to serve is, we're here to serve you. That's what we're here to serve. And we're accountable to you. And there's a lot of visibility with that. And we're honored with that. But it's not a positional thing. It's a service thing. And if we're not doing that, then we need to be accountable for that. And the other piece is, all of this leads to hidden insecurities, right? So what does Scripture say about this? Well, it's in Philippians 2:3. It says, "Do nothing of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Right? Right? Which is, if we need to evaluate our motives when we're doing things. Right? Why we do things. What is our motivation behind it? Even when we exercise things like that are uncomfortable, like church discipline. The intent of church discipline at the end of the day is reconciliation to the body. It is not the ultimate, it's not condemnation, right? Galatians 6:3, we went through the book of Galatians, right? It said, "For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." If you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, think again, right? And there's plenty of things that the enemy trying to deceive us and distract us from the mission, right? They will try to maximize on this. Right? My jokes are not where one of the things I used to be in the military for a while, right? And one of the things a good mentor of mine said, when you became an 06, your jokes did not become any funnier, right? So that young lady that come around to you, just guard your heart and guard your space kind of piece, right? Right? From that perspective, there are things that you put, rails that you put to make sure that you protect yourself and people are accountable, right? The other, James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble." It speaks for itself. Taking the time, right? And humility. Putting others first. Service. By the way, it's Christ-like humility. Christ-like humility. 1 Corinthians 4:7 said, What do you have that you did not receive? Every one of the gifts that we have that are supposed to be used for whom? For the body. There are gifts for the body. You did not get on your own. It was a gift from God, right, that you received. You accepted it. It became a gift. Now you have to give back. You flow. You minister through your overflow and through your gifts, right? Romans 12:16 says, the harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Project 25 is one of those things that we can do, right? One of the other things that you can do in the Father, in the events that we have, for example, in the Father Son, is that there may be some young men or young ladies that don't have a father. It might be an opportunity for you to be able to go and do that and be an influence in that young man or that young lady's life. We take opportunities and we set these things together so we can minister to the body of Christ, thinking less of ourselves. Why? Because he did that for us. So therefore, we should reflect that in our lives. Now, with that, we're moving into letter 25, which is thinking of novelty, you know, novelties and passions. And I'll tell you, I did struggle with this one, right? Because it talks about the previous chapter was really about arrogance and ignorance manifested ultimately in spiritual pride as we go in certain areas, whether at what degree it differs. This is about novelty, right? And I'll read it specifically here. It says, the horror of the same old thing is one of the most valuable passions we have produced in the human heart. An endless source of heresies in religions, following counsel, infidelity in marriage, and inconsistency in friendship. Think about what he just said. This is from the enemy's perspective. He said, the horror of the same old thing. Right? It's like, what are we talking about here? It's like we, in the letter he talks about that humans, we live in time. God lives outside of time because he created time. We live in time. So we have a beginning and we have an end. And in between, a whole bunch of things happen. We have a day. And by the way, everybody gets 24 hours. Everybody gets 60 minutes in an hour, right? And everybody gets to live in the presence, in the present, right? And then the problem is that we spend a lot of time when we think about it. How much in the present do we actually spend time with? Because a lot of people, me included, spend a lot of time in the regrets of yesterday, the could've, the would've, and the should've, and worrying about tomorrow, what can be, what should be, what, and worrying about that. I suppose, and then we miss the present day, the 60 minutes that we have in that hour, and how we act accordingly. Well, that leads to the pursuit of things, right? Now, and change, and I struggle with this because he was talking about change. Well, you know, kind of, I like to change. I like the things associated with change, right? But as we're talking about is adding things to it so much to the point that there's a point of diminishing returns. You know, there's a law in economics. Who knows that law about diminishing returns? That basically says that an optimized system, you know, gets to optimize, you know, especially in production, if you have like a, I don't know, you make widgets and you take four people to make widgets and it's an optimized system, but you add two more people because you think it'll give you more widgets. The reality is that that's not the way it works. There actually starts, there's a diminishing return for that. So continue to pursue novelty over time, and just for the pursuit of change itself, that is not what we were made for, pursuing the change and the things that they could be or should be, right? God made seasons, you know? Winter is followed by spring, right? You know, the day, Monday's followed by Tuesday, right? You know, Good Friday is followed by, yeah, so Resurrection Sunday. You know, we have hope on Friday because there's Resurrection Sunday. And it comes every year. So what God has made us to be, in the letter he talks about, he made us in a way that we can be in change, but there's a comfort in the permanence in the permanence of things, in the consistency of things. Like the seasons come every year. Easter comes every year. Christmas comes every year. We have feast and festival, right? We have the ability to come here every Tuesday, right? It's when we start adding more and more and more into that we get that gets diminished. Because the purpose of the enemy is to keep, like he said, in a state of confusion, right? By adding what? Fashions and vogues and things that distract us from the particular mission that we have in hand, right? And it leads to these things that we talk about: disdain for tradition, shallow pursuit of change, boredom and holiness. You know, God created, again, change, but also with some permanent things, these seasonal things that happen. And it calls it by, and the enemy call it, Wormwood here, Screwtape calls it here, rhythm. Well, being Latino, we kind of know what rhythm is. You know, we can do this thing, right? I can understand that, right? You play big Jack and TW. You guys play, you're musicians. You know, you're Jack, you're in the bass. You know the rhythm of things and how that holds together, you know, whatever the performance is of the day. It's just the drum and the bass, you know, same over time. But it brings the music out in harmony. In harmony. So what are the systems or sins or struggle that I saw knowing what I was reading the letter and the symptoms of the patient? It's sort of restlessness and boredom. Not living the particular time and the moment that we are. Not enjoying what God has given today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Right? Disregard for spiritual discipline. There are certain things and consistencies there that we should be doing because it gets us closer to knowing the characters and the attributes of God. They are what? Let's say, what do we do for that? Prayer. Yeah. How about Scripture? You want to know what God is saying in your life? You need to know what he's already said in Scripture. Right? Because he's not a man that he shall lie. So if he's telling you to do something because he's speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, that can be verified and discerned with the Scripture. But it's important for us to be in that discipline. You know, there is no novelty about that. It's just a discipline. This is where discipleship comes from. And, you know, chasing trends in technology and theology or worship, the new thing. He calls it at the beginning. He said, you know, if we're going to make Christians... And he said, and this struck me because he talked about maybe our problem is that they're just merely Christians. What is merely being merely Christian mean? Well, I'll just propose to you that it might just mean that we gather, we grow, and we go, we get to know Christ, and we make him known. Does that sound familiar? Not that complicated. Okay, not much fanfare on that. But that's what we stand for. That's in our values. Merely Christian. What he wants to, or the enemy wants to keep us, is Christianity and. Christianity and social justice. Christianity and politics. Christianity and the culture. Christianity and. Right? And he talks about specifically, he says, if you're going to make them Christian, let's make them Christians with differences. Now, remember, we went through the book of Galatians, right? We talked about, okay, salvation is what? What? Christ plus, right? That's what Paul was talking about, Christ plus. We know that that's not the case. It is through, by Christ alone, through faith, right? That's what we talked about. But in order for it to keep us confused, the enemy will want us to add Christianity and. So, what does the Scripture say? Jesus, in Hebrews 13:8, says, Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Some people are going through transitions right now. You know, we've got brothers and sisters that are going through transitions, right? All you have to do is open up the news and just see that, right? Especially in the federal government, right? The same God that was there when you were there, the same God that will take you to transition. Some people are retiring. The same God will be there when you go to the other end. He does not change, right? Jeremiah 16 says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient path. The application here is to seek wisdom and test the truth, not novelty. Okay, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, there is nothing new under the sun. You know? Timothy 4:3 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure the sound teachings. We remember the consistency of teaching and the new thing over here, right? And you hear that, influenced by many people, many writers of before, like Nietzsche and Darwin and all of these other things that influence, right? That is the God of the New Testament the same as God as the Old Testament and changing. That gets challenged with that, right? And people say that, but it's important for us to hold on to some of the fundamentals as we go down. It's not like we're against change. Change, we know it happens. We recognize it. It's just that they're fundamental things that help us process and live through those changes. Okay? Last thing is in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in who? Him. Not me, not George, not Marty, in him, in Christ.